Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but masterfully notice the weakness in all them. Gotta use it only if necessary. Homie, investors is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi's was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales, the cops, the time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist in more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
TV CSI.
This is the military, David. Free the land, revolutionary rich. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among you African prisoners. Two, to eradicate cultural ignorance among you African prisoners. Three, transfer the criminal mentality to new African mentality. And we all know we can do that through our process. Knowing doing that is that possible is through a re-education process. We out there to revolution mentality through educational means by training and educating a person. Four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities, to make it sustainable community where we can build our new African community, new cities. Five, to prepare new African prison for release, reduce new African recidivism. We want to kill that overall criminal mentality, nigger mentality, slave mentality, and eradicate, period. And our overall goal of Georgia University, transfer the whole prison day slave complex to the prison system, to the big institutes of learning through education, I mean. I thank everybody who been listening to our broadcast in 2014. I like to salute everybody in the community's environment for educating themselves and doing something positive in the community, building the community up, building their family, building themselves up. And before I bring on our guests now, I'll let go of a couple of events that happened in history during this week. October 3rd, 1974, Muhammad Ali defeated George Foreman for heavyweight boxing title in Zaire. 1979, Richard Erickson was elected mayor of Birmingham, Alabama. October 31st, 1900, actress and singer Ethel Waters born. In 1920, Kenyan revolutionary Dedan Kamata was born. He was a member of Atlanta Freedom Army, known as the Mau Mau, and helped the Kenyan people get their independence from the British. 1969, a race riot occurred in Jacksonville, Mississippi. Also on the 31st, we can remember the born day of the first vice president of the British Republic of Africa, President Ayodele Kofi, a.k.a. Mama Ayo. November the 1st, 1787, the first free school in New York City, the African Free School, opened. Jane Weather Johnson called the school to receive aid from the city and state, the precursor of the New York public school system. In 1910, the first issue of the Chrysler was published by Edith W. Boyd. 1927, Florence Mia, one of the first black women superstars, died in New York City at the age of 32. 1942, John A. Johnson published the first issue of the Negro Digest, the first commercially successful black magazine. In 1945, John Johnson published the first issue of Ebony magazine. 1951, Jet magazine was founded by John G.A. Johnson, published the Ebony magazine. So over the first hour been a year where he propagated his propaganda in regards to written literature. On November the 2nd, in 1948, New African Revolutionary Nationalists, former New African political prisoner, Paul Jones was born. Paul Jones had been a prominent statesman in regards to the New African Revolutionary Nationalism, prominent statesman in the movement of Black Organizing Committee, prominent statesman in political prisoners, as well as those in various hunger strikes and various other agreements and situations in regards to elevating our new African nation. In 1954, Charles C. Diggs Jr. of Detroit was elected mayor, Michigan's first black congressman. 1976, 17 black congressmen were elected. In 1979, Mama Sabra Shakur was liberated from prison. She's a new African political exile as representative of spirit resistance. November 3rd, Jean Baptiste Pointe du Sable, who was from Haiti. He was a pioneer and founder of the settlement, became the city of Chicago. He was born in 1750. In 1868, first black elected to Congress, John W. Menard, defeated a white candidate 5,107 to 2,833 in an election in Louisiana's second congressional district. He had an inspired term in the 40th Congress. You know, when slavery, quote unquote, was embodied in the 13th Amendment in 1865, there was a lot of new Africans going to the Senate, the Congress, and, you know, getting political power. So this talks about it. 1874, James Theodore Holly, a new African who immigrated to Haiti in 1861, elected Bishop of Haiti. He was consecrated in the ceremony at New York's Great Church on November 8th. 1890, H.H. Reynolds invented the patent for a bridge safety gate. In 1983, the United Nations overwhelmingly condemned the U.S. invasion of the Caribbean nation of Grenada. November 4, 1872, three new Africans elected to major Austin, Louisiana elections. C.C. Antoine was lieutenant governor. P.G. Desjardins, Secretary of State, W.B. Brown, Superintendent of Public Education, and P.B.S. Pinchback was elected Congressman at large. The fourth new African official, Treasurer Antoine Duberclay, won election 1874. 1942, Dr. Patrice E. Balfour born. Patrice E. Balfour was a pioneer of ophthalmology, a genius in eye care, brought special attention to eye care for new African people, invented a widely used machine for cataract treatment. In 2008, Barack Obama elected the President of the United States. November 5th, 1863, three new African protests of Lincoln, Louisiana Reconstruction Plan asked for ballots and equal rights. 1867, the first Reconstruction Constitutional Convention. 18 new Africans, 90 white open in Montgomery, Alabama. In 1917, U.S. Supreme Court decision, Buchanan versus Wallace, struck down Louisiana and Kentucky ordinance that required new Africans and whites to live in separate residential areas. That was in 1917, you know, that they wanted to be two independent civilizations in Louisiana. In 1970, National Guard mobilized in Henderson, North Carolina riot. 1989, Civil Rights Memorial dedicated in Montgomery, Alabama. So those are a couple of events happening here during the week, you know, from different aspects, from the civil rights, revolution aspect, historical aspect, and so forth and so on. Right? But, you know, the show must continue. And I would like to welcome to the show tonight, you know what I'm saying, one of my big comrades, the founder of Georgia University, one of the primary founders and third theoretician of Georgia University, Elder Abdul Lugubai Shakir. Jumbo.
Well, right, white gang. How you? And Jumbo, you know, there's can't stop, won't stop.
Yes, sir.
We do, white gang. Yeah.
So, Conrad,
how you doing, big bro?
Oh, I'm doing well, yeah. Bro. I'm doing well, man. You know, I'm doing the work, man. You know, it's good to hear your voice, man. It's good to see you, your consistency. You know what I'm saying? Good to see you pushing that spirit of resistance, spirit of inspiration, even though your conditions are even though conditions are what they are, you know, so it's all good, oh, brother.
You know, yeah, you know, can't stop, won't stop, regardless where we at, you know.
It's tough. It's
ain't no
tough,
excuses
man.
In the revolution, man. You know that. Ain't no excuses in the revolution.
True,
yeah, but, one of the things I want to, you know, speak on quickly, too, as a prelude to the other issues, that we live in a society of government that have proven for centuries, it don't give a damn about us. We pay for services. We enrich a government via their services that they don't provide adequately to us. There's no debating that. From the fire department, from the educational department, from the department, you name it across the board. Our people are forced to pay taxes to a government to provide inadequate service or none at all. That's backwards, ass backwards. And we continue to rely and depend on those services no matter how they have served us. That's backwards. Regardless if you call yourself a revolutionary or not, regardless if you believe in independence, you also believe in self-sufficiency, believe in self-preservation as a people, as a community. May you be Christian, Muslim, non-believers, doesn't matter. Self-preservation is an inherent principle within all human beings. As a community, somewhere down the line, that process have been numbed, subdued, because we continue to allow, depend on a government that we know for a fact don't give a damn about us. And then when you speak about independence or self-sufficiency, the most we can do is pay lip service to it. But yet we can continue to contribute to this system that is broken, a system that don't give a damn about us, but we will continue to contribute to that opposed to developing our own institutions to serve our basic and immediate needs. we can't keep blaming everyone else for our failure to act responsibly. We can't keep blaming everyone else when we fail to do what's in our best interest. We can sit here all day and talk about white racism, fascism, talk about it all day. It doesn't change nothing. Should we educate the people too? No doubt. That's not in question. But at some point in time, you have to move action, direct action, in terms of developing independent institutions that are going to serve your community, serve your people. And I'm not just talking about revolutionaries. The people, everyday people must participate in this process. Everyday people. You can't sit back and complain when you do nothing.
Hey,
we're not in the same position.
I just want to acknowledge that we I got my little special co-host on with me tonight, Conrad of Kevlon, man. I just see a line over. Oh, I'm going to acknowledge these here.
Jumbo, comrade. Yeah, I'm here, comrade. We're having some difficulties at first, but yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Just introduce yourself, man, for then we can get back to it. Just let people know who you are, right?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm Rise.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir. Member of the People's Party for Independence. I was just on the show about a week ago, and just not taking too much time. I'm with the PPI. We down in Georgia. We did an interview last week, and I'm excited to hear what brother got to say. Comrade got to say.
All right. Okay. That's the Conrad to do at emergency preparedness seminar, right? I just want to be doing it all the time, man.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, all right, there, Conrad. Oh.
Peace, Conrad. Peace.
Revolutionary love. So we have to assume the responsibility, not just as revolutionary formation, but as a people. You have to stand. We have the blueprint. The blueprint means nothing if we don't have the construction towards building that blueprint. If we can't come together for the basic needs of our people, we're in trouble. One of the reasons why we focus on the natural disasters is that we believe that that is common ground. It is non-political. All our people throughout the country understand the need to be prepared for natural disaster or crisis, maybe snowstorm, wildfire, earthquake, hurricane. We believe that using that common ground will allow us to bring our people together to address other issues, developing other institutions to address those ills that affect us as a people. The problem is we have to, and it's on us. I don't blame the people. As revolutionaries, we have responsibility to teach the people. So we have to develop a language people will understand that what we're doing is necessary. We have to develop an emergency response to minimize the fatality, to be more effective in responding to disasters and crises, just like this COVID. That was a crisis. May you believe it or not, or where it came from, it doesn't matter. It was killing us. Whatever it was killing our people. Our people wasn't prepared. We had to rely and depend on the same government. And the same government did not let us down. It failed us again. At some point in time, we have to start for ourselves, support one another. Hurricane Katrina, I believe, was the learning curve. Hurricane Katrina clearly showed that we have to prepare ourselves for a natural disaster, for a crisis. And when we say crisis, we ain't just talking about those are natural. We're also talking about what are man-made. Me and one of the comrades were discussing the other day, if Russia decides to drop a bomb over here and it destroy half our community, what do we do then? How do we respond? You think we're going to be a priority for the hell no. Nah. But what do we do for ourselves? How do we prevent anarchism in our community? Chaos. How do we prepare our people? And a lot of people don't think in them terms. You know, it's like a party every day. They shove those things off. But if you look at history, these things are bound to happen. If you look at inflation and how it affects our community, that is inevitable. We're dealing with a government that is greedy, a capitalist system. inflation is inherent within the system, but poverty also perpetuates itself under inflation. It grows, and we are the primary victim of that. How do we prepare ourselves for that? So when we say emergency response network, we're not just talking about natural disasters. That's why we're talking disasters slash crises. Those crises deal with economic, education, poverty across the board. So how do we build these institutions that are going to address all those issues? It's our responsibility to prepare our future generation to protect and defend our children from a natural disaster or maybe from police brutality. And we're not doing a good job. I always use the pictures of Hurricane Katrina when you see family, the whole entire black family is on top of the roof with American flag crying, help me, with American flag. We know that the government did not respond the way they're supposed to respond during Hurricane Katrina, but yet we have black families on the roof. No one on that roof was able to prepare themselves for what they know was coming, a natural disaster. We rely and depend on the government to serve them, the very government that we knew wasn't about shit before the Hurricane Katrina, but we rely on that same government. That's not smart. That's thinking like a checker player, not a chess player. Even to this day right now, since 2005, we almost, 18 years removed from Hurricane Katrina. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about communities. We as a community is not prepared for another natural disaster. And they hit every year, guaranteed. Hurricane season, tornado season is every year. Earthquakes, snowstorms, every year. Living within a capitalist society that creates crises after crises, we are faced with crises every year, every day, every week, every month. But yet we make no effort to prepare ourselves as a community. I'm not talking about individual preparedness. I'm talking about as a community. We make to prepare our future, our generations, to arm them with the necessary means to survive these crises and natural disasters. How do we maintain a stable community when these institutions don't exist? We pay lip service, and this is the reason why I respect what the comrades are doing, because they're not paying lip service. They develop and create a center, and they provide no services to the community. That's a model example. They're not just out there talking. They actually right there doing it. And we need to get more people involved. We have the blueprint. Like recently, I created a messenger for Emergency Response Network Messenger to provide basic information. In order for people to move, they must have some level of information. And that was the whole purpose for this page, to provide information, to arm our people with information that will aid and assist in preparing themselves as well as the community. And a lot of people did not respond the way they're supposed to respond. It's free information. We even provide free pamphlet. It's yours. Send the email. It's yours. The issue is more complex, and anybody on the front line knows this. The battle is within the minds of our people and how they see it. And that's the tough struggle right there, is convincing our people that there's a need for these institutions, even though they see it. But you have to be able to give them a functional understanding that there's a need for this, because their response will be functional. Their response will be a direct manifestation of the understanding that we must do ourselves. We must create our own institution in service of ourselves and our community. There's no debate here. And I always tell people, they say, Abdul, why are you on a debate? I say, look outside your front door. What am I debating? You tell me everything I'm saying don't exist outside your front door. Poverty, pig brutality. We own no business, homes in our communities. We're not prepared for natural disaster or crisis. Identify something in there that is debatable. The only thing we debate is how it's done. And that's not debatable. There's no one single answer to the problem. The objective is to bring all these answers together from their solution. And it's important that we focus on the obstacles. And the obstacle is not the government. It's us. It's us. Now, I want to be brief on this part because people asked a question. It was a brother who had the experience and skills because he stayed in New Orleans for 18 months on the front line. And then he also went to Haiti during an earthquake. So he had the experience. So I invited him to the table. I explained to everybody that come to that messenger group, this is about the hurricane. This is about Katrina. This is about natural disasters and crises. Anything irrelevant, don't bring it to the table. We're serious about this. We must stay focused and disciplined to the course. The brother, I explained to the brother, hey, man, you have experience. You have skill set that is beneficial to our endeavors. So I'm invite you to the page. Stay focused. He came to the page and made it about himself. He went on and on about his attributes and about his service. So I stopped him for a minute. I explained to him, check it out. Everybody on this page can do the same thing. Everybody on this page have contributed to the struggle for years, decades. This is not the page to prop yourself. This is about the people, not about us. Then he went to start saying we need to depend on the government. Now, what got me was this. He said that we can't do this without the government. We cannot do this for ourselves without being subordinate to the government, to the mutual aid groups, to FEMA, or to Red Cross. That was the last straw. I blocked him, got him out of there, because now you're trying to tell my people, and he's a new African, or so-called new African, that we can't do this, that we don't have the capacity or ability to do for ourselves, to build for ourselves. Then he was saying, well, during a natural disaster, we're going to need FEMA, because FEMA is going to allow us to come in there. I said, brother, you're not. We are the first responders. We live there. FEMA don't live there. When a hurricane hit, we right there in the middle of it. A firestorm, whatever the case may be, we right there. FEMA comes from the outside. They're not our first responders. We are. What we're trying to do is arm our first responders with the skills and tools they need so they can arm our community with that same information. We are the first responders. Who's there before we are? The pigs? No. The government? No. And they threw that time and time again. So I was trying to explain, but why would I depend or work with FEMA and wait for their permission to serve my people, to help my people? Why are we waiting here to get permission from FEMA or Red Cross? What do we do? Get out of here, man. I blocked him. Took him off the page, and I blocked him because I ain't got no time for that. And because I try to explain to brother, I don't speak to them. I speak to the strength and reality of my people. You know, we always speak to the weakness about what we can't do. We have never tried to do this. It's not that we can't. Do we have the will to do it? So I removed him from that because I seriously believe we can do it and do it for us now. At some point, will we have to rub elbows with FEMA? Yeah. If it's a natural disaster, FEMA going to come eventually. Red Cross will come eventually. But if we establish our own institution, we'll have our own vaccine. We'll have our own clinics, our own boats. If we do our own boats, we have all those already available. We're going to be there before they are. We know our community, our so-called community, before they do, better than they do. That puts us in a more effective position to be the first responders and not wait on the government that we don't give a damn about us. The objective of the African emergency response is to arm the first responders with the knowledge and skills to get the job done, as well as the ability to obtain the necessary material to develop our own warehouses of survival material, develop our own community trust fund that will allow us to buy the material that we can start developing bug-out bags, survival kits, and pass them out to the community for free. These are things that we have to do. But it's like soon the hurricane hit, everybody started crying, or the earthquake. But we had time before this happened to prepare ourselves. We can't keep blaming other people for our failure to respond only. Put this constructive label, people say, man, you blame them. Where's our blame when you sit on your ass and you know better? What is stopping you from supporting the movement? Will it stop you from supporting the goals and objectives to build and stabilize our community? What is stopping you? The white man? Racism? Fascism? What is stopping you? When you sit and watch TV for 2-3 hours, who's making you do that, man? You can use the same tools to build, to contribute your time and resources to building our communities. Well, people need to understand that I don't care what your beliefs may be in terms of liberalism, it can't be done until we stabilize energy. That's our power base. We're not going to achieve our liberation in a state of chaos or weakness. Our community is not stable and it's weak. And I don't mean people, I'm talking about the community itself, because we lack the physical, mental infrastructures to get the job done. We do not have the monetary resources, the material resources to get the job done. That's the leadership. It's not going to win a revolutionary or struggle from a position of weakness, playing checkers. Our objectives and goals at this time, we're not going to be liberating our time. Let's get that out of our head now. It's our job to build the foundation for our future to liberate themselves. The community must be stabilized. That is our power base. Our focus is building that community and creating that power base, developing these institutions in the service of our community. You always hear people speak about self-government. But what does self-government look like? If we can't govern our own communities, you can get the government out your nation, you can get that out your mind. Because the same issues we have to address in the community, it will magnify 100-fold if you govern your own nation. You have to develop community services that are going to provide these services to our people. Natural disasters. Natural disaster relief. It can be done if we pull our resources together and come together and sit down at the table and speak on this plan. It can be done. Our obstacle is only us. We are the ones holding ourselves back. There's no one to blame but ourselves. And brothers, some brothers say, well, Abdul, I don't think that's right. I say, okay, check this out, bro. We like 18 years removed from Hurricane Katrina, right? What have you done? What have you done to prepare your family and your community for the next natural disaster? He said nothing. Now you're sitting here criticizing me for criticizing our lack of response. That's some backward-ass thinking we're doing. Because Hurricane Katrina should have been a wake-up call for all of us. The importance of being prepared across the table. Do we have the ability to secure our community, to protect and defend our community? Nope. That's a crisis. You have all these white nationalist organizations, and that's not counting the government and this fascist system that's preparing and training right now to kill us. But we make no effort to prepare ourselves for that. And that's a reality. That's not a fantasy. You got groups right now training and planning, and they're constantly being exposed that's planning to kill our people whenever the time comes. Now, let's be honest now. Any organized force can come in right now and damn them mop us up because we're not prepared. We're not organized. And we have to be harsh in that storyline so people can understand the crisis we're in across the board. We cannot accept the state of being we are in right now. I'm just going happy old go lucky slave. I'm going to accept my persecution. I'm going to accept my torture. I'm going to accept these conditions. It seems like we're quick to do each other harm, to neglect one another, opposed to coming together and helping one another. There's a lot I don't agree with in our community, but if you're committed to building your community, serving your community, I'm going to be there for you and with you. I may not agree with your religious beliefs or your political beliefs. As long as it's not harming my people and harming my community, I can. There's no excuse. In my situation right now and my comrades, we're in prison. We make no excuses for it. We're going to do what we can from our goddamn prison cell. There's no excuse in the revolution. We all can play a role, and there's no role more important than the next one. If you can contribute 10, 15 minutes to the cause, then contribute 10, 15 minutes to the cause, because that's 10, 15 minutes that we didn't have. Implementing the Emergency Response Network is important. It's imperative to our survival as a community and as a people. I don't like seeing my people face down, ass up in some flooded water. That fucked me all, excuse my language, but that fucked me all the way up. Because I know a lot of that is preventable. What we've seen during Hurricane Katrina and all these other natural disasters in our communities, most of that is preventable. One, the same brother I was talking to, he's saying, well, I don't see how we can do this for ourselves. And I told the brother, our community is not subjected to your blindness or lack of vision because you can't see it. We're not subordinate to an individual's. There are others who can see it. He's trying to impose his blindness on everybody else because you can't see that vision. We can. If we come together and do the right thing, we can develop our own institutions. We can develop our own mutual aid. We can develop all the things that we need to protect and defend ourselves and survive in this race of society until we strike for liberation. He's saying we need the slave master in order to be free. Okay, let me give you an example. I told him I'm going to give you a raw, ugly example. Let's say I'm in the field. I'm going to tell master, I want to be free, master. What can I do to help you help me be free? I'm a good nigga. I'm a good boy. Let me know what I got to do to help you help me be free. That don't sound right because the slave master don't want to free you. Why would I go to him? Why would I depend on this government to liberate us when our enslavement and oppression has a financial benefit? Is what keeps it going. It don't make no damn sense. From a strategic standpoint, yes, there are times that you may have to bend a little bit to get what you need for the service of your people. I don't dispute that. And I told him I don't dispute that. And I said, I'll give you an example. We want this brother or this sister to join the military, learn everything they need to know about it, and bring it back to help us defend ourselves against it. That's how I see that. Not the secure imperialism, the colonialism and fascism around the world, but to secure our communities, to secure our new African nation. Bring that talent and skills back to the community so we can build our new African nation. All right, Mbani.
Okay, yeah, my mechanisms are acting
come
up.
Come on, man.
Hey, it was acting up, man. Hey, Conrad Riza, you have anything you want to add to Conrad? You want to say about this, man? All right, Riza.
Can you hear me? I was just talking. I apologize. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I was just sitting here listening, and it reminded me of that first pamphlet that I ever had got from you. I'm talking about this got to be 7 or 8 years ago, Conrad. You know, and
yeah.
Right. And that it just reminded me that was the seed that, you know, been produced today. That's it. Everything he's been saying, you know, I can remember, you know, pulling it from that pamphlet. And then what was crazy to me was, well, like brother saying, it ain't enough to talk about it. You know, we took that pamphlet and we used it on the same street that we were sitting on, you know, as far as the emergency preparedness and, you know, just what we realized is we were the first responders, like Conrad said. There's a lot of crime, a lot of things happen in the community. And I seen this firsthand because I was a country boy and I moved to the city. And seeing the things on the street that happen don't usually happen in the country the way it does. So when I seen it happening on the street and from the information I got, I realized quickly that, you know, you're the first responder, you know, whether you involved in the activities or not. And it's your responsibility to protect and equip the community, yourself, and everybody in it. So just listen to Brother Cadet. All I got is to listen from Conrad, you know. And it just reminded me of why I had got started in all of this. And a lot of people don't understand the how imperative the emergency / disaster preparedness is. You know, we kind of overlook it. It's one of those things that you don't really realize it until it happens. And once it's happening, exactly. It's too late. Right. Like Conrad was saying about the Katrina, you know, that was one of the things I studied and seen, you know, we at the whim of a whole other group of people, you know, or institutions that don't have our best interests at heart anyway. You know, so I ain't going to talk too long, but like I said, I'm just soaking it all up, reminiscing and picking up, you know, the strategy to continue to move forward with, make me feel good with my prep about, you know, prepping people for natural and emergencies, because a lot of people just not trying to do it. They don't want to keep their bodies fit, you know, and it's just something that's not preached in the community again and to where we can really take back over. So, yeah, I'm listening, Conrad.
See, and another thing, like, you have a lot of people who say, okay, what do I do? I'm by myself, right? And I always explain to them, that's where it starts then. Start with the right. Blueprint. And you say, I can't really afford none of this, right? So let's do this here. Get your family member. You create a trust fund among yourselves and month to month put $2 in there, $3 to $5, whatever you can afford. Go to these different mutual aid centers and get donated survival kits. You need to begin to build like a family. So let's say you have 2 or 3 brothers and sisters involved in this process. Each of your family pool resources together among yourselves. You have to be the model example of what we're going to do in the community. But it starts with your family first. Prepare your family. Then when you prepare your family, you can teach what you learn to the next family next door or to one of your relatives. And then you go to the next door. Now you begin to form that collective. Now you begin to organize a little bit more. Now you give people responsibility. You will be responsible for training our people how to evacuate from our communities. You will be responsible for teaching our people first aid. See, you know, and you'll be responsible for teaching our people, training them in weapons and martial arts. But it starts with a family. See, a lot of times we look at a blueprint. No, you have to crawl before you walk, and you have to walk, run. And you have to read and study before you give birth to those ideas and concepts. Right now, we're at the stage of trying to encourage our people to read and study the blueprint, how important it is. Like the comrade said, we can't wait until we're up to our neck in flood water and say, damn, I should learn how to swim. But unfortunately, and I'm not going to never bite my tongue, that's how we act as a people. The flood water is up by our nose. And then we say, damn, man, I should have listened. You got the opportunity now to prepare yourself for that. We know what we need. No one, I mean, anyone above the age of 14, 15 know that we live in a country that don't give a damn about us. The majority of us know that. Many of them don't accept that, but the majority know that clearly. Many of them have only submitted and surrendered, capitulated to that crap. But they know we live in a country that don't give a damn about us. They throw little crumbs out to try to placate us. But we know deep down inside they don't give a damn about us. But yet we continue to serve them, and their service to them is our destruction to us. That's not smart at all. Regardless of what you call yourself, may you be New African, Negro, capitalist, American, nigga, I don't care what you call yourself. It's victimizing all of us, other than those who have got on their knees and start sucking on their little fucking bull crap. But for everyday New African brothers and sisters in the hood, we are the victims of that because we allow ourselves to be victims. I was telling one brother, I said, check this out, comrade. We got brothers in the NFL, brothers in the A. Those two institutions wouldn't even exist, would not for brothers. We're talking about multi, we're talking about trillions of dollars right there at our disposal. We can bring both of those institutions down to their knees. We are the foundation. They cannot get them things done, but we don't come, we don't utilize that power. If you disrupt that, you'll put a dent in their pocket. Remember, we live in a capitalist society. Money is everything. And that invested in basketball and football. And we are the primary players in them two games. If we mobilize and organize in service of our people and community and tell them clowns, we're not playing no more, these are things that you're going to have to do or go to hell, I guarantee you some of it will be done. Because now we're exercising that we do recognize our power. We live in a capitalist society. Hurting them economically is the most effective way of bringing them to their knees. But we have to come together. And again, one comrade said, man, you ain't going to never happen. It may not happen in our time, but you plant the seed. And what I mean by that, if I got a young brother and sister or a son or a daughter or niece or nephew, I'm going to start training them soon they pop out the womb. So when they do go to college and start playing football, they're thinking like us. And I think like American Negroes. They understand, I know where I'm going. I have a mission. Just like how the CIA, the FBI, them infiltrate groups, you know, and they may go to sleep and then they awaken. You know, the government say, oh, yeah, go do your job now. That's what we have to do. So if you orientate them and indoctrinate them right, a brother can go through elementary, junior high, high school, and college and go to pro. Remember, that brother thinks just like us. Sister thinks just like us. They understand their role and purpose. It's not just about playing football and making money. I understand. We just sent the revolutionary brothers and sisters to go play professional sports in the service of us. The same way they infiltrate our institutions or our programs, the same way they infiltrate our community. I don't understand how we don't do theirs. We got a lot of brothers and sisters on the college level that will listen to us. But a lot of time we shine them on because we call them squares and nerves. I want a nerve. I want a brother so they can use their brains and think and discipline. There's a lot, I mean, we can't blame no one else but ourselves for not being responsible. How often have we seen our sisters and women being abused by cops, pimps, and other people? Ask yourself, why is it so easy to do that? Because we as men have created a climate that we don't give a fuck. There's no ramifications or repercussion in abusing in children. None. I've often seen the brothers standing there with phones in their hand recording us being beat up by cops or by another guy. What the hell are you recording for? But that tell you about his mentality. That tell you about who we are. That's not our true self. Why in the hell I'm recording a sister being beat up by a bunch of pigs or by a pimp? Why am I recording that? That is far, I mean, whoo, and people don't get it. You had to really analyze that. The person behind the camera have no inclination. No, I mean, it's like he disconnected from the situation. Man, I ain't going to, what you mean you ain't going to what? Man, yeah, I'll be on the 5 o'clock news on the run because I ain't going to let it happen. We don't love each other more. I mean, the love we have. I mean, I'm calling up shit. I'm saying, you know, live your life, and you know, I'm not mad. And if you
going in out, all right.
Oh, okay. I can't control that. I can see his poor connection.
Yeah, Yeah, we're going in and out. Just
yeah,
but you're good.
You know,
right,
not like I can walk down the street and find my, you know. I got to find a good spot. Yeah. So,
I already know.
So I'm just saying, man, we have to self-reflect on all those different issues, right? Because if we understand and embrace this concept of prepping, that doesn't apply to natural disasters. That applies across the board. Economic prepping, cultural prepping, community prepping. Those are the tenets of the nation. Those are our basic tenets. It starts from the beginning. Those are seed planters. Huh?
Yes, sir. You know, and so I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, damn, man. Just like if you're hungry, no one need to tell you to eat your food. You know how to eat. These things are natural. We should have been kicked in survival mode a long time ago. Long time ago. Since I was a kid, one thing I never understood, how can one pig come in our community and make 20, 30 brothers run? I wouldn't run. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here, why I'm here. I ain't running. How in the hell you come in this community that we call ours and all these same brothers that ain't got no problem killing another brother is running?
Yeah, you know, I was talking about that dynamic a couple of days ago, man. You know, we get mad, brother, Crips and Blood. You may kill 30 Crips or 30 Blood, but some of the pig kind of retake our running. We just killed down in the whole neighborhood, you know. So I mean, you weren't afraid to kill the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? What's up with the pig, you know?
Yeah, but and then it's not only that either,
about
right?
The mind state, though.
Exactly. And then it's not just the physical betrayal, but it's also, for example, if we had a sister in the community with a kid and she's struggling and I got money where I can help her, but I'm gonna go buy me some $400 pair of Air Jordans when half of that money could have been used to help that sister. But see, we don't relate like that. And I've had many dialogues when someone would say, well, man, that's not my baby. Yes, it is. Those are babies. That young brother or sister you seen walking down the street with no shoes on, hungry, that's your child right there. There's no other way to look at it. That's real. We have this Eurocentric perspective. Oh, that's my neighbor child. No, your neighbor child is your child. There's no way in hell you can walk by. It's like, but this again, this is that menicide, that psychosis of living in a fascist capitalist society. That's the psychology of fascism. When we have disconnected ourselves from one another, where you can walk down the street and see a kid in trouble and just keep on walking. We numbed ourselves, and this is what they've done. But we allow it to continue to exist. Our ancestors have legitimate excuses. We don't. There's no goddamn way we should be feeling towards one another like we're doing. And that's the struggle in itself. And we're like, we always say that the first battle is within the mind. We have, because whatever the mind does, your body do. The battle is in the mind right now. We have to win our people that way. We have to break them, change the psychological slavery from their brain. Because they thinking like slaves. We're not thinking right. Even Malcolm said along the way, we sick in the brains right now. You know, revolution is the only cure. Self-independence is the only cure. A lot of times we have come accustomed to living in this sickness and we accept the sickness. I have no problem killing my own people. I have no problem destroying my own people. I have no problem poisoning my people. That's a sickness. Ain't got no problem being selfish with my riches and turn a blind eye to the suffering of my people. That's a sickness, and motherfuckers don't get that. Excuse my language, but people don't get that. That's a serious sickness. And it's killing us. You know, it's killing us because it produced these behaviors, selfish, you know, conceited, greed, you know, and we reflect those things on how we treat one another. And I did it the other day, and I was saying to some people that as revolutionaries, we have to understand We have to humble ourselves. It's never about us. I care less if the people know me or not. I'm committed to freeing them, liberation, regardless if they know me or not. It don't matter. Honor me. I don't want none of that. You know, my wife all the time cremated me and flushed me down the toilet. I'm a revolution in the service of my people. I don't care nothing about this physical being once it's gone. I'm not trying to be no hero. I don't want to be in the walk of fame. I'm a revolutionary dedicated to the liberation of my people. That's it. I'm not trying to make no name for myself. I'm not here to be like or dislike. I'm here for one reason, and that's my people, you know. And that's one thing I try to explain to one of the brothers in this live, that we have to humble ourselves, man. You know, it's not about us. You can eat 3 meals a day and be happy. I can't eat 3 meals a day and be happy because I know we got people, kids throughout this country, not the world, in Africa and other places, that's not eating at all. It's hard for me to be happy. But in order to fulfill that, I have to work hard. I have to develop ways on how we can feed our people and feed our children. And that's the other booklet we created. Because I cannot see their company. I got something. We have to do something, you know. Again, where we at right now is a state of encouraging or trying to get our people involved. And that's why the center is important, because it's a physical structure, an infrastructure that people can see, vote, you know. It's more effective than just words alone. When they walk by, they say, this is the center here. It's there and exists. And when they go inside, they're going to see it for themselves. They're going to actually see it, touch and feel it. And that's what really get them when they see it. And when they see the young comrades pushing and building and serving the people, they get more involved because they see, okay, this is the solution. It's right here. They're not just talking and jaw-jacking. They're actually right here on the front line of us, across the board, training us in weapons, teaching us everything we need to survive in this society and better organize our community. See, when you have that physical structure there, you become more effective because the people can see it right there every day when they walk by, you know. And again, that is a model example, right? We can do whatever we put our mind to. That's the bottom line. I tell comrades, you can't speak to the weakness of our people. And I learned that from Dr. Naeem Akbar. I used to bond with Dr. Naeem Akbar years ago. And he wrote a book, and that's one of the things he was saying in the psychological, I think it was the Change of Psychological Slavery, when he was speaking about when he first joined the Nation of Islam. And when he first joined the Nation of Islam back in the 50s and 60s, he had all them degrees on his wall. All them awards and all them on the wall. But when he joined the Nation at that time, on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was like a kid again in kindergarten. He realized so much he didn't know. We have a tendency to speak to the weakness of the people. And I give you an illustration. Like, when you smoking cigarettes, they tell you you can't stop on your own. You got to spend your money to buy this patch so you can get off. That's speaking to your weakness. They're telling you can't do it on your own. Just like when you're trying to get off heroin. They say, no, you got to use this methadone. You put money in their pocket, too, because they weren't making it. You got to use this methadone to get off of heroin. Now you hook on methadone. Then they're going to give you another drug to get off of that other drug. But instead of just saying, stop, you can do it. That's speaking to the weakness of our people, and we fell for that shit. Tell them, you can stop. I stopped smoking cigarettes. Check this out, Conrad. I woke up one morning doing Black August, the first of Black August, 1987. I said, I'm done smoking. I ain't never smoked since then. I'm done. I'm cool. I didn't have no 10 steps, 5 steps, no patch, no gum. I woke up in the morning and said, I'm done. In the service of Black August, I'm done. Because you speak to your strength. That's who you truly are. I never speak to the weakness of my people. I speak to the strength that you can get off your ass and do what's necessary. That's why I got upset with that brother talking about we can't do this on our own. We need a government. We need to subordinate ourselves to the government and FEMA. I block your way. I don't give a damn you my comrade or not. I blocked him. I don't want my people hearing that shit you talking. You know, and he was a comrade, Mobani. But I didn't. Fresh, man, I'm dude. You blocked. Leave me alone. because I don't want that slave mindset. You can tell by saying that you fully have not transformed to that new African then. You know, you still ain't let go of that relationship with the slave master. You talk that shit. Oh, man, I'm that man, you know. But then he got that chain wrapped around your goddamn neck. We can do what we have to do to be liberated, to be self-sufficient. We can't do in this society. Even though we live in a fascist, racist-ass society, we can do it. Bottom line, our history tells us we can do it. Our history tells us we can do anything we put our mind to.
We're doing it for hundreds of years.
I'm not
every band.
Man, you know, and again, when I did that live the other day, I was saying, look at our ancestors in the late 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, when they had towns and communities, and they owned everything in them communities and towns. They owned the bank, the insurance company, everything, the homes, the ones that these racist dogs bombed up and destroyed. But the point I was making, that was during the harshest time of slavery, of Jim Crow, fascism, racism was blunt. And our ancestors was able to build these towns with limited resources now under those conditions, and they were successful in building these towns and communities where they owned everything in there. They didn't have to rely on the pen unless fascist, racist government. Here we are now, 100 years removed, more resources, more at our disposal, and we can't even do it.
What's the difference in us today and the difference in us when we used to be able, in the harsher times, we were able to stay together?
See, remember, the system of fascism, the system of oppression has evolved too, scientifically. And it understands that if we can control the mind, we can control the people. They have became sophisticated in that process and our transformation in terms of psychologically. We're not the same people mentally that we was 100 years ago. We're not the same people
right.
We were in the 50s and 60s.
Mm.
Remember, that system is constantly working to entrap your brains, to slow us down, to convert us. So what I'm saying is it's a psychological war. And what we, for example, when you go through the elementary, when you go through junior high and high school, you being oriented and brainwashed. Those are cadres of orientation and indoctrination. The first thing you do when you're a little kid and you go to preschool, you stand up, put your hand on your chest, and pledge allegiance to their organization. You pledge allegiance to their party. I pledge allegiance to this flag. The same flag now that's entrenched in blood of our people and indigenous nations. That same goddamn flag. We have been brainwashed, oriented, and indoctrinated to bless that flag. And that flag is entrenched with blood. With the exception of math, put math to the side, but everything else is specifically designed to orientate the way we think. It's preparing us to be subservient to a government, to a system that is out there to destroy us and maintain us in the status quo. And that's what people have to understand.
Indeed.
If you even look at some, even for example, even look at some of the Panthers from the 60s, many of them now is Americans. They have transformed. They're Americans. All of a sudden, wait a minute, nothing changed. If we've been oppressed and dogged out in the 60s, and that's what caused you to become a Black Panther, what has changed? We're still being dogged out and oppressed. We still got a boot up our ass and a knee on our neck. What has changed to make you change when the condition is just the same? And that's what a lot of people don't understand, comrades, is that this is a mind. This battle is in the mind. And they have succeeded in that. So what I'm saying, another thing you got to remember, too, back then, it was blunt. So it's hard to deny. You got punched in the mouth with raw racism.
Right.
So there was no denying there, and they didn't deny it then either. You see what I'm saying? So the mindset of our people at the time was totally different too. I mean, you got hit in the mouth hard with it. Everywhere you walk, everywhere you breathe, talk, it was there. Now it has become more sophisticated. They hate itself. In order to preserve itself, it had to evolve. Because as long as you see it in front of you, you're going to fight it. But if I make it disappear and give you certain rewards, you're going to join it. And not even knowing, you're your own destruction or your own, you know, in your own repression. Not even knowing. They understand the principles of chess, man. We play checkers. They play chess. They understood when they went from chattel slavery to psychological slavery, it wasn't because of any sense of humanity. It was a political and economic move. Because the world began to change from going to the Industrial Revolution. They understand that chattel slavery was no longer profitable. So they made that transition. The United States was reluctant, especially the South was reluctant to give that up. Dummies. But it had nothing to do with, like as far as like the North and stuff. They would let slave go. Because you went from one form of oppression to another. Crow. So even though our ancestors and elders were no longer on a plantation in New York and all in places like that, they were still being oppressed. Still being victims daily of racial discrimination, racial violence. This went from one stage to another. Because the system of capitalism, imperialism, fascism was evolving. I can enslave you now. You never know you're enslaved. You meet less resistance now. Because when I stand in front with my gloves on, it's obvious that you got to defend yourself. But if I stand there and hand you a welfare check or stand there and pat you on your head and whatnot, you're confused. You're like, okay, is this my enemy? Well, he giving me a check every month. Is this my enemy? If I call 911, the police or the fire department come to my house. But that's your enemy. It's a reason. See, and this is what people need to understand. Because you call 911, they come to your house. That don't mean you have to look at the bigger picture. Just like in prison, they developed this system, a complaint system, where if something happened, you file this complaint, and they'll address the issue, right? Prior to that, especially like in California, prior to that, brothers was digging off in their ass every time they did something. Digging off in their ass every time they did something. So what they did is this. Okay, we're going to develop this system. Say like one of these officers destroy your property. Okay, here go a complaint form. You can file that complaint. Now, in order for this complaint form to be effective, we got to give you some victories now. Okay, you destroy this man's property. We got to pay him $100 now for his property being destroyed. So now when people see this, they say, okay, I got a complaint too. He filed that complaint or she filed that complaint, and they'll get some rewards. Now what you've got is they depend now on that very system now, opposed to digging off in their ass. Oh, all you got to do is file a complaint. Now the system guys ain't believing in their bullshit. See, a lot of people understand that problem. It's what made
then the same token, when you see that, they see people believing in it, now all of a sudden they can't find the paperwork missing. It backed up and none of the system changed on you.
Yeah, but by that time it doesn't, you know, that's part of the process as far as our people are concerned. Even though it's not quicker now, but we still have this outlet. We still have this outlet to address these grievances. But yet oftentimes now the grievances are not being addressed. Your condition hasn't changed. But now you got people believing in the process now. Regardless of the results, they believe in the process now. And people understand this is a psychological game. This is psychological war. And they're winning. Because they got people, you know, Floyd Joy, whatever his name was, that's an aberration. That's just him. I mean, people got the knee on the neck and got killed throughout the years before that happened. The only thing is social media. Because people caught it on the camera on the phone. That was something we seen almost every day throughout the country as a people. People choking us out, killing us. That's not new. But see, this is what people don't understand. That's how this whole thing is being dictated by those who control. They make you thinking this is something different. This is new. This just started. When George Floyd got killed, or when Rodney King got his ass beat in the middle of the streets. Oh, this is some new stuff. But if you go back and look, our elders, ancestors are going through the same thing and worse. They're sick and dull. They're whooping the shit out of Martin Luther King. He wasn't even fighting. This is not new. But whoever controls the narrative is going to control the direction it goes in. We acting as if, most of our people acting as if this is some isolated incident. This is different.
Yeah.
Those are just bad cops. The system is bad.
No, I want to go after that, Superintendent. That the one of the main reason Georgia University Radio is this, you know what I'm saying, control the narrative and put things out perspective so people can see exactly what we got going on from our own stories, our own mouth, our own experiences. So you know what's going on. You can
exactly.
know that there are other solutions or other ideas and concepts that you can go to instead of looking at what the oppressor is telling you or looking at things from the slave mentality or nigger mentality, ignorant mentality, you know. You
exactly.
better broaden your perspective and develop different solutions and be able to become a solutionary. You know what I'm saying? Solve your own problems in your own community, your own situation, you know? So we find, like you said, like both of y'all have been saying, we find a propagation war. And every time we propagate, we must communicate for strategy. We must have strategic communication, also secure communication, also communicate, you know what I'm saying, for the aspects of liberating the minds of the people, right? Educate them up for liberation.
Exactly.
That's what we got to push in regard to everything we do, you know, from that perspective. Obtaining a victory. Our propagation will be a tool. Your late history is a tool and is a weapon. It's depending on the hand of the user or the wielder, right? You know?
Yeah.
That's what's going on for real.
And that's why comrades and brothers like Haki Kweli Shakur, that's why his podcast is important, because that's what he's doing. He's educating people, not just to the history, but to the breakdown of how these systems have brainwashed us. Have control our mindset, the way we think about ourselves and each other, right? So that's why programs like that and plans is important. You know? Well, okay, check it out. And before I forget, this is another thing here, right? I had a dialogue with a sister a couple weeks ago, maybe probably a couple months ago, and she asked me, so Abdu, what you saying there's no good cops? And I told her, all good cops are fired. What are you talking about? Because if you're saying this is a good cop and you're still part of that police department, you're not a good cop. Because you know that police department is corrupt and you do nothing about it.
Right.
How can you say you good? Where is your moral constitution? Because once you accepted that and turn a blind eye to it, you become a pig. All good cops are unemployed. Unemployed. Because a good cop going to say, fuck this job, fuck this paycheck, I'm not going to let this happen. That's what a good cop would do. He become unemployed. But once you turn a blind eye, you now become a pig. There's no such thing as a good cop. An employed cop, but there's no such thing. Because it's like if you sit there and accept that and turn a blind eye to it, you're part of it. And that reflects your moral constitution or lack thereof. You know, what the speech that was. So you trying to say there's no good guard? Hell no, no good prison guards. Hell no. Because if it was, they'd be fired. Because you wouldn't sit here and tolerate this shit. This is like what's going on in Alabama. Ain't no good guards in Alabama, nowhere. So how can you sit there and let that shit go on and don't feel compelled to stop it? No, there's none. You can't even answer that question. Because if you're against this injustice and you're all about this so-called law and order, then where's the enforcement at then? Because when you start picking and choosing, well, I'm only going to enforce on these poor Negroes or these poor Mexicans or these poor whites. But I'm not going to enforce on the rich. I'm not going to enforce on law enforcement. I'm not going to focus on the judge and politicians. That's not a law then. You don't enforce the law conveniently. Either it's a law or it's not. And most of this shit in the United States is not law. Because it's changed from time to time, situation to situation, condition to condition. That's not law. That's not justice. You can't constrain and bend law the way you want to bend it. If it's true, it don't bend. Justice don't bend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I see Rafiki. Let me see if Rafiki has something to say right quick. Hold up.
Oh, Rafiki?
Yeah.
Your twin.
Jumbo Conrad. Yeah, I'm a twin. Jumbo Conrad.
Hey, hello, comrade.
Hey, come on, comrade.
Oh, you know, case I won't stop, man.
Good to hear from you all. Huh?
Case I won't stop, you know?
Oh, yeah, but he's the B-star. No, I mean, all I hear is good and on point. And, you know, part of that and part of the dynamic, especially dealing with this imperialism, is also looking at, you know, that term neocolonialism. And, you know, I like to hear y'all as well touch on that as well. And I just wanted to make sure that the people out there know that, you know, you can fight no matter where you're at. It was George Jackson that said that there will be no peace in the concentration camp. And even if we look back to our previous generations and saw how some of them fought, and let's even take it back to some of the things they show on TV, you know, the boycotts and things. It's just like the brother said, you know, at one point in time, we had some type of self-sufficiency. There shouldn't even been really a need to be having that the boycott. We should have our own. You know what I mean? We should automatically have our own self-sufficiency. We don't need to ride a bus. We should have our own bus. That nips that in the bud already. Educational tool we have, reading tool we have, strategic alignments. They have an incident in May where somebody is abused and treated harshly within a convenience store. Same thing. That convenience store, the owners, we should own that. You shouldn't have to have bad food or a food desert and get treated bad on top of that. So a lot of things are nipped in the butt if we do what we suppose to do. So some of the best resistance is actually just to do for ourselves. If we have ourselves tight, we patrol our community, there's no reason why the pig should be even in there. And then one thing I've seen about GJU, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the Emergency Response Network. I'm proud that if anybody really wants to get involved, you know, they can contact one of us. If you are in Maryland, you know, reach out to me. Reach out to George Jackson University, 71@gmail.com. Again, it's George Jackson University, 71@gmail.com. I will reach back out to you. And at least we know with the plan and Emergency Response Network, there's a plan in place. We need to practice it. We need to implement it locally and start there. There's nothing wrong with it. Start there. You can start with you. At least with that, and you being around brothers and sisters, we should not have no one. Shouldn't have no one face down, ass up, excuse the language, in the water.
You know?
Not if you're doing these things. So we need to start now. Like I said, just reach out to us. You love.
Hey, now, with regards to that neocolonialism, right? Now, there's a few people understand, because a lot of people don't understand this here. Colonialism changed faces when it's under threat. I'll give you a perfect example. When you look at the Vietnam War, France invaded Vietnam like in 1880-something. And then in 1940, Japan, World War II. But France colonized Vietnam. And around 1955-54, that's when France decided we got to get the hell up out of here. But what they did is form the South Vietnamese government, a puppet government, and left. Now, to put perspective to this, this is a form of neocolonialism. And that's why they say neocolonialism, a new form of colonialism. Because, say, France say, fuck it, we got to go. But we need to maintain our control over this so we can get some of your people who believe that we believe to maintain that for us. So we can put your face in there. The face of the French people left. So when people see that face, they think everything is cool now because one of their own is in power. From a culture standpoint, physical standpoint, that's your people. But from an ideological standpoint, they're under the control of the former colonizer. That is still colonialism, but it got a new face. So when people understand something, colonialism and neocolonialism are connected. It's not separate. It's going to go to neocolonialism at some stage. It always do. When you have a pure colonist, people are going to resist. People are going to fight. This is what I mean by how the system have evolved. Colonialism understand, I'm here, people start fighting. Because it's obvious that I don't belong here. But in the process of what I'm doing, I'm training that puppet government too. Because at some point in time, I'm going to leave. I still got control of all your resources. I still control your country. But I'm going to have your own people managing what I own. You think you're free because you voted for this old puppet idiot. But we control him. He's a new face of colonialism. Neo just means new. Neocolonialism is an inherent transition to perpetuate their existence. Because if you out there just kicking people off in the ass, at some point they're going to continue to fight, rebel, resist. You can't make money like that. The colonists understand that. So we form a government that looks just like you and leave. You think something's changed. It's no different in this country when you have these Negroes. These Negroes are working for the colonists. When you see these black faces in the Democratic Party, Republican, when you see the black face in the Democratic Party, Republican, those are neocolonialists. But what they do is they see it. They let you see them black faces. You see, we're not racist. There's no oppression. We got two of you guys at home. Here goes another Negro right here in the Democratic Party. And what we do, we suck that shit up. You know, we suck it up. Oh, Jesse Jackson. Oh, Al Sharpton. But then they say, well, wait a minute, Abdul. They do a lot of good for our people. Exactly. How can you have faith in neocolonialism if they don't do nothing? That's the part of sucking you in there. If you put a Negro out there that's not going to do nothing for your people, for his people, nothing, you ain't going to believe in that process. So you can continue to fight the colonists. You must put someone not on there. He must win you over to the system. So he going to be in the hood fighting for you. But he already know there's limitations in that fight. Civil rights opposed to human rights. Inclusion opposed to independence. Look at all these neocolonialists. What did they fight for? Integration. Let me sit at your counter opposed to let me build my own restaurant. Reform. Let me ride on your bus opposed to let me create my own transportation system. They keep you within the confines of colonialism. And a lot of people don't see that. Because a lot of people are not politically mature enough to see that. Yeah, Al Sharpton has done a lot. Jesse Jackson has done a lot. Yeah, for colonialism. Because it continues to put you in that same box. It's not outside. Jesse Jackson go outside the box. He stay within the box. The colonialists control the box. The fascists control that box. So in that box, you get certain freedoms inside that box, but you're not free because the box is a trap. Now, when you step outside that box, your ass will either be in prison, killed, or under surveillance for the rest of your life. Because when you step outside the box, you represent independence. You represent true freedom. And that's the difference. When you step outside that box, that's the George Jackson. That's the Malcolm X. That's the Marcus Garvey. That's the Robert Williams. That's the Salah Shakur. When you step outside that box, you know, and that's the distinction, you know, and you can't be fooled because, again, it's like this here. It goes back to strategic alliance. Can we not use these coons? Yes, you can. You can't use them to serve our bigger cause. There's no question about that. That's the S&T, the strategy and tactics in revolutionary science. Can we use a Jesse Jackson to get somewhere to help us create a climate that will facilitate certain policies that we're trying to implement in our community? Yes. Strategic alliance. We're playing chess. But at no time do we think Jesse's a revolutionary. He can call himself what the hell he want to call himself. He's still a coon. He's still a neocolonialist. We understand that. You see what I'm saying? We understand that. You know, but again, you know, but then we get, you know, we get like a lot of our people can become hero worshiping. You know, they get emotionally attached. Just like when I was speaking about the Vietnam War one time and I explained the United States on the wrong side. No question that, because remember, when France left, the United States came into play. In 1954-55, the United Nations told France, no, I mean told the South Vietnamese government, you have to run an election. France put you in charge. The people didn't elect you. You're not a free elected government. When they did a survey and they realized that Ho Chi Minh and them were going to win the election, every United States came in. So, oh, no, no, can't happen. They became the new colonists. So when your father or your brother, whoever, went to the war, they were not fighting no just war because your daddy doesn't mean the war changed. The dynamic's still the same. The United States had no business being there. France had no business being there. Japan had no business being there. These people were oppressed for hundreds of years. The women murdered and raped, kids molested, mass graves by foreigners, the French, the Japanese, and United States. How can you say your dad is a war hero when he went over there and fought in the service of colonialism? You can't get around that. The facts speak for itself. I didn't make them facts up. Read the history books. They tell you France went over in, well, I think 1883. Japan came over in 1940 during World War II and massacred people, the same way with the French. And when the United Nations told the South Vietnamese government that you have to run a free election government, check the history, it told them that. Once they realized Ho Chi Minh was going to win this election and the Communist Party was going to win the election, they reneged. Hell with that. And that's when the United States got involved. They didn't go there, and they said they was in the 50s. But see, people on they totally dismiss those facts, and they deal with America's narratives of the war. That was an unjust war from day one. So the sister's saying, "Well, man, my dad, okay, that's your father. I don't dispute that. That's your father. But I'm telling you what the war is about. That don't change the dynamics of the facts. That was a fascist war in support of colonialism. That's a fact."
And still
now, your father probably didn't know that. They still got their ass whooped. But here go the thing, right? That's either here or there. The point I'm saying is, you know, it's no different with Iraq. When they went over to Iraq, when they first went over there, they implied that Iraq had something to do with 9/11. And I'll give you another example. From 1979 to 89, Iraq was United States puppet. In that region. From 1979 to 89, Iraq actually used their weapons of mass destruction multiple times. When they were fighting Iran, they invaded Iran. United States didn't say nothing. They invaded Iran, Iraq did, under United States leadership. They used their weapons, chemical weapons, against the Iranian soldiers in the early 80s. United States didn't say nothing. They actually built two nuclear facilities in the early 80s, United States didn't say nothing. It was Israel who flew all the way from Israel and dropped bombs on those facilities. United States didn't say nothing. There was mass graves, false imprisonment, and then when they went at the Kurds, they again used their chemical weapons against the Kurds. United States didn't say nothing. What Iraq was accused of after 1990, falsely accused of, they actually did when the United States was their puppet master. All those false crimes they accuse Iraq of doing to justify going in Iraq, which we know now is bullshit, that actually took place when the United States was in power. This is like how Saddam came into power. Saddam came into power with a gun in his hand. And if you go back in 79, 78, some of that stuff was on tape. Every time one of the Iraqi politician challenged Saddam, he was marched outside the door, and you hear gunshots. They come back in. Who else? After three or four never came back, nobody said nothing. The United States is aware of that. Remember, Saddam was trained by CIA. And if you look at the history from 79 to 89, they did everything that the United States falsely accused them of after 1990. They used their chemical weapons three different times. They had mass graves. Everything they was falsely accused of, they actually did. And not once the United States intervened. Even in 1989, when Iraq use them chemical weapons against the Kurds. The United States refused to impose sanctions on Iraq. That's a fact. Not because I say so. It's a fact. But our people walk around here in the blind. America, America, God bless America. God ain't bless America if you believe in God. There's no way God bless this motherfucker because you got material goods. How do you get that? To say God bless America is to say, oh, okay, God bless slavery too. God bless the genocide of Africans, the genocide of indigenous people. God bless colonialism. God bless neocolonialism. God bless mass graves. So you cannot say none of that when you say God. You cannot separate that from God bless America then. Is that, you know, hey. Yeah. And it's hard to explain that to the people because, again, they've been educated and brainwashed to one thing that's not even true. And they believe in that, even when among our own people. They'll kill you for that flag. But yet, you know, if a Nazi was to put up that swastika flag, everybody would be in arms. But you tell me, what's the difference between that swastika and them red, white, and blue stripes? Because people were massacred when that flag came into being. Right. Slaves, indigenous people, COINTELPRO, prison license program. Millions of people died unjustly under that flag. The United States was an invading country. If you look at Puerto Rico is a country. They reduced that to a state. Alaska, Hawaii, Guam. Then you got the U.S. Virgin Islands. How the hell did they become the U.S. Virgin Islands? But yet everybody talk about Russia and all them other countries. The United States is a goddamn empire. But nobody want to talk about that. Say it again, Montgomery. Yeah. But again, when we talk about our people. Exactly. But then again, when you got people who believe in this system, you can't separate yourself from that snake then. Now, you have those who blindly believe in it. Okay, we excuse you for your ignorance. For those who know better, have you ever thought about why Puerto Rico is a... It's not... They can't even participate in the presidential election. Puerto Rico is not a goddamn state. It's a country. Then look at Cuba. How in the hell you have a military base in a concentration camp on somebody else's territory? But yeah, the United States will challenge anybody else that has to do that shit. United States got their military base in a goddamn concentration camp on somebody else's territory in Cuba. How the hell? But yet you hear all that shit United States talking. Everybody suck that shit up. But how do you justify United States having a military base in somebody else's country that's supposed to be their enemy? But yet they don't understand why Russia did what they did when Ukraine tried to become NATO. Why should Russia accept an enemy right at their doorstep? When the United States is inside somebody else's country with a military. And that's supposed to be the enemy country. And they have a military base right there. So this is those two-faced ass shit, what America's about. It ain't got nothing to do with justice. Justice ain't two-faced. Either you with justice or you're not. You can try to justify them and water it down and cover it up and paint it up, but it's still a piece of shit. You can't turn a piece of shit to a rose. Look around you, man. And that's one of the problems right now. They have a lot of our people and people in general living in an illusion. And a lot of people become comfortable in that illusion because it's safe. It's safe. You know, and that's one of the main problems. Man, people have went for it. It pays off for them. And that's the problem, you know. As revolutionaries, we have to show the people that true freedom, true justice is you can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on true justice and true freedom. But they put a price on capitalism. They put a price on oppression and fascism. So people benefit from that. You become a millionaire under a fascist system. You know? It's material-based. It's greed. I don't give a football to the motherfuckers as long as I get mine. Shit like the card. Damn. Senseless, heartless motherfuckers, man. When they got your ass thinking, you don't give a fuck about your own people. You know, I don't give a fuck about them. I'm making mine. Fuck them niggas. serious? And nobody see nothing wrong with that. And you hear brother say that in their rap music. Are you serious? You don't see nothing wrong with that. And it's our structure that put that shit and put it out there for you.
Social engineer.
Man. Mental slavery, man. Medicine. They be strong our minds. And we don't get it. Even when you just sit there and just throw in the towel, you have been destroyed. No matter what's happening around you, your people's dying, our kids is suffering. I'm just going to sit here and get lost in this football game for 2 hours. I'm just going to sit here and get in front of social media and play these games. I'm going to play all these funny little games for 2-3 hours and just escape into this other reality, this falsehood, and deal with the reality. Come on, man. And that's why I said we can't blame nobody else but ourselves. How you going to put watching a Super Bowl or NBA game, whatever, before your service to the people? You can't give minutes to a cause that can liberate you, but yet you can give 2-3 hours to a bunch of fools running with a game down the field. Think about that. I can chair. You got brothers that can sit in that chair for 2-3 hours watching the whole goddamn football, basketball game, or baseball. But then, hey, man, you need 15 minutes to help us feed or help us put this community garden together or help us teach our people first aid or distribute this and do shit. Oh, man, I'm kind of busy right now. I ain't got no time or nothing, man. What you doing? Shit, man, I'm playing this supersonic game on Netflix or something. Hey. What you just say? And they say nothing wrong with that. I'm on TikTok and all that for 2-3 hours. Social media, going to the got Tableau and all that old shit, but yet you can't even dedicate 10 minutes to the liberation of yourself and your people. You can't tell us our minds and brains ain't fucked up. We can spend hours and hours on social media doing nothing. I can see if you're on there with the revolution, educating people, mobilizing, you know, I understand all that. But if you're just there just to be there, and yet you can't commit 10 minutes, 15 minutes to the struggle for the liberation of your people? Come on, man. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And I know most of us won't do that. You know, because we won't really see what you need to see in order to make the change. Accountability. We're scared of accountability. When we speak about accountability, people say, well, you blame the victim. I'm blaming him or her for their inability to do what's in their best interest, in the interest of your people. You're damn right.
I'm over the line for a few callers, man. I think I got some questions. Hold on. Let me see what's happening.
Okay.
470-290-90. If you have a question, comment, statement, please do so. The time your line is open. 470-290.
All right, Kings. Good evening, Kings. Kings, I got a quick question about, I haven't voted yet. I'm skipping about voting them because I know they ain't doing that for the people. But moving forward, how do I hold, these Senate or whatever that's running in Georgia accountable for, you know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, right now, I'm in a state where I need a contract of them, you know what I'm saying, holding. Up, you know what I'm saying? I can hold them accountable for, you know what I'm saying, if they don't do what they say they're going to do. I can't keep going for the same old BS I've been going through for 4 to 5 years. I'm voting, but they ain't doing no good for my people, you know what I'm saying? So moving forward, how do I go by voting? Because I'm making my mind not to vote, you know what I'm saying? I've been voting by, I believe, about 5 years, man, but I really don't want to vote because they ain't doing it. None of them ain't doing it for the people. They ain't holding cops accountable for killing us. They hold us accountable for killing each other, but they're not holding cops accountable for killing us. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm really going through that right now over 3 years from marching for that. But you know what I'm saying? Moving forward, how can I go by holding these motherfuckers accountable for my vote? You know what I'm saying?
Is that any kind of thing? All those conditions that you have identified, that's the propaganda. That's what you show. You know, I put you in office, but yet we're still dying. We're still suffering. We're still unemployed. We have nothing changed for our conditions. I'm giving you this Correct. Vote for what? What am I voting for you for? Because every time I vote for you, nothing's changed. You keep saying change is coming during your little election campaign speeches and stuff. If you're going to do this, you're going to do this. But yet my condition, the condition of my people hasn't changed yet. So why are we giving you that vote? So what I'm saying is using that process, that information, understand me, and you got to get more people involved because, you, as you know already, ain't nobody in our community is benefiting from these votes. You know, it's not better than our, it's doing nothing better for us. So that's what you have to utilize. Show that. It's evident. It's self-evident. They can't get around that information. You know, and you got to get others that feel like you and get on social media and expose it and, you know, use flyers. And if you got to go to the individual who represent that particular district, flood his ass up or her ass with some phone calls and emails. You ain't doing nothing for us. We keep voting for you every year. You ain't did jack shit but ran your mouth. We still living in poverty. It still ain't safe for us in our community.
Pressure. That right.
Okay,
pressure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. I appreciate you,
right,
brother. Right. All right. Appreciate you, good brother. I'm going to see who else got anything to say. If you have any questions, comments, statements, please press 1. I think, let me see. I think the sister got something to say. Freelance, so if your line is open. You got a question, comment, state, please just sort your time.
Freelance, what's up, everybody on the line? How y'all doing tonight? What's up, Baba? Where you been?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
I haven't heard from you. Where
I
you
know,
been,
hey. I've been, I've been kind of busy, but don't, sis, you got me. I don't worry about nothing. I get at you in the morning time. We'll set it up. I got you for real.
All right. Don't be playing with me now. Don't be playing with me.
I'm not playing. You got me.
This is my question because, you know, y'all always come with their side, with their truth, man. Y'all have I be hype over here at night. I be like, man. We don't have that out here. We don't have that in our communities, right? Then we got elders that's in the movement, right? We got a lot of elders that need to be handing out their wisdom and doing what they need to be doing. And we got a lot of contradictions. How do we deal with that? Because I want to be respectful as I can to them. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like we got a lot of people doing work. We're not getting the connectivity and the unity that we need, right? Then we got elders that are not. How do we merge that together?
See, let's say this here. You know, truth is the most effective tool you can use in making correction. And what I mean by that, if there's an elder who's taking up space that he or she is not doing the job, you got to get the hell up out of here then. Because the struggle is not going to be held hostage by you. Because you got this past, you contribute, we respect all that. You've been involved 50, 60, 70 years, we respect all that. But that don't give you the right to sit in and hold us hostage either. Either you want to directly participate or you're not. Let us know. You can't just sit there. You got to be honest with them. They don't like it, they don't like it. But this we're fighting for our freedom. This is more powerful and serious than this one individual or these two, three individuals. You can't just let somebody else sit in that seat. Okay, if you ain't going to participate, contribute, and share your wisdom and experience that can aid and assist us in our future fight, then get your ass out that chair. Simple as that. Ain't no other way around that. Ain't no other way around. Don't bite your tongue. You can't, again, we get caught up in a situation like, well, okay, here go comrade. Ex-Panther, ex-BLA, you know what I'm saying? Been around the RNA since the beginning, you know. They got all these, you know, contributions. Give you all that. But what does it have to do when you're wrong? Because you've done all that doesn't justify you doing what you're doing. You know, you don't have a free pass and holding the organization, the movement hostage because you did all that before. Fuck that. Nah. Get your ass up. Oh, roll that wheelchair ass out the door and get out of here. Serious. Because this is serious. It's not no game. Fuck that. And again, when and they know people do a lot of hero worshiping and all that, so they're used to it. They have become comfortable with, okay, I can do what I can do because ain't nobody going to say nothing. Ain't nobody going to tell me to leave because I'm so-and-so. Yeah, get your so-and-so ass about here. You know, and that's simple. It's not cruel. You holding the organization, the party, the movement hostage. You sit in that chair, you know damn well you ain't contributing nothing. When you doing that, that's counter-revolutionary. That's counter-revolutionary activity there. Because you know you sit in that chair and you're not contributing towards the struggle. You're just sitting there. That's counter-revolutionary because you're blocking the path of someone that can sit there and contribute. And that hurts the movement. That hurts the struggle. Get your ass up, man. Go play dominoes and bingo somewhere else. can't beat around the bush. You got to be blunt with it. Because they blunt with their bullshit. They ain't trying to hide their bullshit. They sitting there blunt like a motherfucker. Then get your motherfucking ass about it then, blunt.
I got you. I say, because I totally agree. Like I say, I try to be respectful as I can. I try to be very respectful, but I see a lot of contradictions, a lot of them. And like I say, I'm here, I'm learning, I'm going to do my part, I'm going to do my work. But when I see this fucker in mine, it gets to me. I promise it does. I love I love y'all, and I use
it. Right.
All right.
See, and that's, the thing is, man, we in trouble because, again, there's a lot of fake-ass shit be running around, straight fake shit. I was telling one brother the other day, because you killed 10 blacks don't mean shit to me. I'm not impressed. Put this knife in your hand and let's go get that pig then. Impress me like that. You killing your own people don't mean shit to me. At all. You know? Doing the wrong thing don't mean shit. Doing the right thing is more important to me. I'm not impressed with all that bullshit of violence shit. Not impressed. Don't mean nothing. It's what you build. It's what you build. It's not what you destroy. Is what you build going to impress me? Anybody can destroy. Anybody can tear down shit. That's easy. But what you build is more valuable. The life that you save is more valuable.
Rafiki, y'all got anything? Y'all got anything to say? Y'all got a question? Anything?
Well, like I said, I was a sponge. Just for our listeners, though, I know we are about to wrap it up. I do just want to touch on some of the stuff that your comrade came on the hit on just so they don't forget. Being prepared for natural, man-made disasters or emergencies, that's the first step, and getting some stability. Stability, prep, and practice what we need to do in the community. Like Conrad said, there's no excuse for revolution. And wherever you are, you should start. You can take that on all levels, even if you're doing prep, like I tell some of the comrades. If you can't do anything, just start putting water and rice in your house. Go to the grocery store, get some extra.
Exactly.
Just to start somewhere, because a lot of people are overwhelmed with this type of work. And it's a lot going on. And it's best to be able to know how to break it down and where you can start with yourself, family, then community. And, and it's not that rough on you mentally. And like Conrad said, we just got to learn to play chess as a people when we're dealing with this monster, because, like it made me realize, it's not enough just to know the definitions of colonialism and neocolonialism. You have to understand how it changes, when it changes, why it changes, the different forms that it can come, right? And that's how you have to be able to combat it. And that takes your own strategy and tactics to constantly be able to evolve and change and move around so you can battle what we got to battle. So, yeah, just for our listeners, man, I just want to bring a little bit together for get us just to touch back on what Conrad was saying. And it's always an honor to be on the show and to hear these comrades that you don't get to hear these perspectives and this passion and these points of view from, you know, where we are. I could like to let Conrad tell her this ain't the common knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's all I had, Conrad.
All right.
What
about you, Rafi? You got anything to say?
Just quickly wanted to say that that definitely one of the struggles out there and what people have to do is put time to decide to do this work. As men and women, we must do that. So just make sure your daily activities. Make sure you put that time aside to put in work for your people. That's all, comrade.
Sure indeed. Sure indeed.
All
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we got like 8 minutes left, you know, so, you know. Yeah, what it is. You know, the most important thing about it is that we take every opportunity that we have to educate ourselves, every opportunity we have to propagate a revolutionary culture, to propagate a new African culture, to propagate a society where we are free and liberated, independent, everything around us where we can do problems. We can build our own schools, our own hospitals, our own stores, our own community centers, I want to control our own agriculture, control our own water. So things in this are self-sufficiency or self-determination, right? You must control the narrative as much as possible. Every opportunity is a time for it to win. Every opportunity is a time for it to capitalize on the enemy in regards to what they got going on. You know, it's a time for us to combat all that, combat the liberalism and overcome that and be self-sufficient and substantial for us as a new African people. And not just look at things from a philosophical or rhetorical standpoint, but look at things from a practical, concrete aspect, something we can taste, touch, smell, and feel, you know, that makes sense to us. We come from people that have been oppressed for decades and eons, so we believe in blind faith in regard to what their oppressor says. But we must realize that it's all about showing the work and effort to the people so they can get committed and be involved with it. You know, that's what it's about. Got to show and prove it to them. So get them some examples.
Absolutely. I mean, the center is a model example right now.
So we pushing and working.
That's a clear example.
Right?
Yeah.
Without doubt.
And if I could, comrade, to the brother that called in, I mean, about voting. Years ago, I too found myself in that same situation. And most of the time when we think about voting, we usually think of the national scale. But what even the PPI down in Columbus, what we realize is with the population is at the right population, meaning if you have enough people in your city, in Columbus, it's nearly 50-50. With local politics, you can organize and mobilize people to put certain individual, or if you can get here, build your own candidates and put them in there. And that is a tactic to start, you know, just in your city, those politics and that voting system and what goes on with that, it's a little bit more personal. You know, to what happens to you is broken down into the district, the city council, and, you know, the mayor. And it's a little easier to get into that realm and deal with those people. So to the call or anybody that's listening, I too find myself in that situation. But what we can do, because we are a political organization, we build our own candidates. And you at least at a minimum start on a local level if you want to start somewhere in that realm. I just wanted, and if we could, I don't know if you're how it works, You need to get brother information, see what city he's in, because if he's interested in that type of work, that's exactly what we do, you know. So I just wanted to put that in there for the caller that came in, come around. That's all I got. I'm sorry.
True indeed. You know, one thing I want to say about it also is that, you know, in regards to that, man, you know, the best thing that we should be doing is seeking independent, gaining independence, build our own political system, right? You know, I understand electoral politics, I understand those aspects of things, right? Those are different strategies. But overall, when you look at it from a deeper perspective, right, being an independent party, being a Democrat or Republican party, you still submit to a capitalistic, imperialistic fascism system that doesn't serve an interest at heart, right? Even though certain things might work or be some kind of addition to our plight, but you're still in the same system that doesn't care about us. You know, that's just the reality to it, right? But, you know, those are some solutions in certain areas, right, here in the way you at.
Yeah.
So we got like three minutes left,
good
right?
Example.
Yeah, go ahead, Conrad. We got like 3 minutes left.
Now,
All right.
A good example is Bobby Rush, the ex-Black Panther leader in Chicago. When he first got in the office, Bobby Rush thought he was going to change something. Then he himself acknowledged it's not that simple because you're up against the system. You're not in there by yourself. In order for him to be effective, he had to win everybody over on those different levels, and that was not possible. So even Bobby Rush understood that because he went in under the same process that, well, I'm going to make changes. But you're accountable to the body that you belong to. You got to get everybody to vote. You got everybody on that page to support that. And that ain't going to happen when it comes to a community-based issue pertaining to our people.
I want to thank Elder Adu and everybody else who came on and engaged to our conversation. Comrade Rafiki, Comrade Razia Kevlon. Thank all the callers for calling in. You must all remember, you know, the struggle of all for land and independence. If you got any comrade, little one, associate behind enemy lines, please check out Georgia University Radio on Blog Talk, Georgia University on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you also can contact us at georgejackson71@gmail.com. Again, it's GEORGEJACKSONUNIVERSITY71@gmail.com. Long Live Resistance, Long Live African Independent Movement, and it's called Land Independent. Free land.
Free land.
That's it.